Am I on? Can you hear me? Okay, good. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in chapter 3 of Proverbs tonight is what we're going to look at. So let's go ahead and we'll pray and then see what the Lord has for us. Lord, I just pray that you would give us, pray that you'd give the gift of teaching, Lord. Pray you'd give the gift of hearing if there is a thing, and help us to hear you. I pray that you just help us to get to know your word, get to know you, get to know your will for our lives more, Lord. Help us just to get to know you more and just come and help us. Fill us with your spirit and lead us, Lord, and guide us into the truth. Just speak to us, and I pray the Lord rebuke you, Satan, and just pray that your will be done, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 3, the Proverbs are, if you read the way that some of us do, you read the Proverbs every month, right? There's 31 Proverbs, 31 days, whatever, in most months. So you can read one every day or whatever. Today's the 8th, you read the 8th one. And there's really no rhyme or reason to them, if you've noticed. There's not really, they're just kind of random. And I think it's kind of that way on purpose because every day is different and you never know what you're going to need. And you can read them in the morning and something speaks to you. And then you can read it the same thing again at night. And after all the day, something else is going to speak to you. And some people read them that way. They'll read it in the morning and they'll read it again at night. And God will speak to them, something different from the same thing. So that being said, it's kind of like, at least the first half of this chapter, it's kind of like a whole bunch of two-verse sermons is kind of what it's like, kind of different, but kind of the same, too, at the same time. So verses 1 and 2, he says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Forget not my law. That word forget can mean to mislay. Don't mislay it. Or to be oblivious of it. Or from want of memory or attention. Don't. These are things we have to, can actively do. We can mislay it, or we can just be oblivious, or we can let it go from our memory or our attention. He says, don't do that. Don't forget it. Forget not my law. Length of days. That has a sense of, for length of day, it has the, if you look that word up, it has forever. It has eternity implied in it. If you forget not my law, if we follow the Lord, if we're in his word, it'll add length of days. Really, we'll enter into eternity. We'll have that promise. Because eternity, it's kind of a funny thing. Eternity starts now. This world, this life that we live in is just kind of weird, but when we enter into when we get saved and by faith we believe that, we enter into this kingdom that we can't see, and it's an eternal kingdom, and there's powers and principalities and all this stuff going on, and we can't see it, except we know it's there because we read it, and that's faith. But we enter into eternity. God's kingdom, it's eternal. Length of days, really eternity will be entered in there. And long life, a promise of that. The heart, and so let it keep thine heart. Really, if you look that word up, likewise, for the center of anything, the center of our being, the whole of our, keep it in your heart. We're going to see that, engrave it on your heart, write it on your heart, the table of your heart. We're going to see that theme throughout here. And then a few scriptures. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1 says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess that land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." You know, if we live, you know, if we live the way God wants us to, there's all kinds of promises and blessings, and you know, you're gonna live, you're gonna multiply, you're gonna go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And the same is true with us. Deuteronomy, I'm gonna read several verses in chapter 30, verses 16 through 20. "And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." So, you know, we'd funny, we'd be crazy not to follow the Lord, wouldn't we? you want to know what it looks like? Well, you can read in the Bible about what it looks like when nations quit following the Lord. Or you can look at the news, you know, a nation that, you know, is turning away from the Lord. That's what it looks like. Look at what's going on in Israel. It's just no different. Look in the book of Judges. They had peace for a while and then war, and but God promises, and anybody that'll listen, if we'll just listen and do what he says, keep his commandments. And we got to be reading our Bibles. Good to come and be in fellowship. You know, I got to spend the afternoon studying a lot more than I normally would get to, which is good for me. And hopefully it's good for you, because you can spend an hour, or I spent several hours, and we can have fellowship together, and we're all on the same page. And it's kind of be kind of a little bit like a broken record. Keep my law. Let's do what God says. And that some of this stuff, it's like, just read it. I don't even have anything hardly to add to it. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, and most of you probably know this, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Verse 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Philippians 4, 6, 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." So, just that encouragement, you know, not forget the law, burn it in our hearts. And it has great promises with it if we do it. Length of days, long life, peace shall they add to thee. Verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart." so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Mercy and truth. I read this. I usually don't read a lot of commentaries when I'm studying, but for some reason this time I kept looking at Adam Clark's and John Wesley's a little bit. And Adam Clark had some good stuff. And I didn't make a note if they were Adam Clark or John Wesley, so some of these are commentaries, but one of them said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. He said, let these be thy constant companions through life. She like, I think back, 100 years or 200, however, I don't know when they lived, but I like how they said things better. Let these be thy constant companions through life, mercy and truth. And, the idea of bind them about thy neck, keep them constantly, and this is what one of them said, keep them constantly in view. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Let them be thy moving principles. And, you'd be have a chain around your neck, a necklace. Feel them as well as see them. And the Jews took a lot of that literally. They had phylacteries and that's probably not a bad thing. But the idea is to get it in your heart, like the kid that always cheats on the tests and, he studied it so much, he hid it in his head, That's how he decided he couldn't figure out any other way to cheat. So he hid it in his head. That's what we need to do. We need to hide this stuff in our, burn it into our hearts. And mercy. So let these be thy constant companions. Mercy denotes, and here's a word we don't use. I don't even know how to say it. I looked it up earlier. Benignity. Mercy denotes all, it means kindness, goodness, benign, like, I don't even use that word anymore. But it means all kindness, charity, all readiness to do good to others. That's what this word means. And truth or faithfulness respects all those duties which we owe to God or man. Bind them like a chain wherewith persons adorn their necks, keep it that close to you. All those, we serve the Lord and love the Lord your God and serve others as well. Luke 2, verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor. I don't know what the word is. There's more to that word than I can express in words. Isn't there something about favor that we all, you have favor with somebody. Isn't that just a good feeling? And to have, and here's how, think about it. If you let not mercy and truth forsake thee, charity, readiness to do good, faithfulness, all those duties which we owe to God or to man. If that's us, then it says we're going to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Favor means graciousness. I thought, they say it's not, sometimes it's not what you know, but who you know. I suppose there's some truth in that. Understanding means intelligence. We, think about if you're in the military or what, you need good intelligence, right? Good understanding. Live in this world. We're in the Lord's army. We're in a constant battle. We need good intelligence. We need good understanding. And if we forget not his law and we keep mercy and truth, let those be our constant companions. Then it says we'll have favor with God and man, and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And man, you know, I there is a word that denotes like one's own people. Like, you know, when I first read that, I'm thinking, you know what? Is it just like the, you know, Christians, or is it everybody? And it's the word, it means like man, human, anybody. In Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Generally, and this is what I said, generally speaking, we will have favor with people if we have favor with God. You know, if we're right with God and we're living this way, you know, those characteristics in us are going to be appreciated by those around us. And this is what one of those commentators said. They said it way better. Though religion is frequently persecuted, and religious people suffer at first where they are not fully known, yet a truly religious and benevolent character will in general be prized wherever it is well known. And that's kind of what I was trying to say. Psalm 37. I love this psalm, at least the first part of it. Verses 3 through 7 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. I love this. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. I read that, and it's one of those things that kind of spoke to me. Favor and wait, rest in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let's read verses 5 and 6 first. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's why I just read all those verses in Psalm 37. This is probably lots of people have these verses memorized, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Don't you love those verses? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You got to be reading your Bible, and you got to be hearing the Lord to be able to do that. Because your understanding tells you, I need to do this. This is the logical thing to do. Everybody's telling me I need to do this. And then you read your Bible and you realize, that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do this other thing. And then you have to decide, what am I going to do? Whatever my understanding tells me, what everybody tells me, or am I going to trust the Lord and do what I know he's showing me to do? Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what he wants to do. Trust in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And then, you know, lean not on thine own understanding. Now Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Why? Because we're supposed to trust in the Lord. Lean not on our own understanding. at Jeremiah 10:23 says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Proverbs 28, verse 26 says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." And that's, isn't that what the world teaches you today? Follow your heart. If it feels good, do it. "But he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." Trust means to wholly rely upon God's promises and God's providences. This is what one of those commentators said. I think it was Adam Clark. "Self-sufficiency and self-dependence have been the ruin of mankind ever since the fall of Adam. The grand sin of the human race is their continual endeavor to live independently of God. Example, to be without God in the world. True religion consists in considering God the foundation of all good and expecting all good from him." We think we can do it. We think we can do it without God. As soon as Paul said, you know, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know, Jesus said you can, or how does that go? You can gain the, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Trust in the Lord. Got to trust in the Lord. Lean not to our own understanding. And in all of our ways, acknowledge him and let him direct our paths. He wants to do that. He wants to speak to us. He wants to direct us. If we'll let him. Verse 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Again, same idea. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. To be had in reverence, you know, is what it means. Not like we're, you know, scared, like, you know, like a bad movie or something, but to reverence the Lord, fear the Lord. You know, be afraid of, I don't think he wants us to be like, you know, scared we're going to get in trouble. Maybe, you know, it's like a parents with kids, you know, and we're going to see that here as we go on a little bit, but to fear the Lord, to be, you know, to be afraid of not doing what he wants us to do. Because we'll miss out on good stuff, but then also bad stuff will happen if we don't listen. And we're going to see that. He's going to say he's going to chastise, correct his children. The idea, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. One of the guys thought it was like a reference to thy, like a baby in the womb is fed by the umbilical cord or the navel cord, you know, as health to thy navel. Just like a baby needs that umbilical cord, you know, we need to have this fear of the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to commit our ways to the Lord. It's like just that, like that baby needs that, like, and like just like the marrow in our bones, the strength in our bones. Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses in Malachi, starting in verse 7, chapter 3. He says, well, actually, let me read verses 9 and 10 first. So then he says, honor the Lord. So see what I mean? There's like everything in here. Trust in the Lord. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Malachi. Everybody knows what Malachi says. I'm going to read, start in verse 7 in chapter 3. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, you know, wherein shall we return? You know, what have we done? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. whatever God sends us in the way of monetary, whatever, prosperity, there's a portion of it always for the poor and for God's cause. And when that portion is given, the rest is sanctified. But when we withhold that, God's curse is upon all of it. So give to the poor, he's promised, give to the Lord, give to the poor, and God will give to us. That's what he's saying. That's the promise he's given. So giving, we have a little thing on giving. And honor the Lord with the first fruits of all thine increase. We see that. I could have read, I didn't copy all those verses, but there was a bunch of verses about give the first fruits, give the first fruits of thine increase. And if we do that, there's a promise that our barns will be filled with plenty, that presses shall burst out with new wine. We'll have what we need. And the idea here is you'll have abundantly. And we'll see it doesn't necessarily mean, monetary things. There's lots of other things that are worth more than money. Verse 11 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. You ever get weary of correction? I know when I was younger, it just seems like you can't do anything right or something. I remember I was in Ames. This is kind of a dumb story, but it serves the point. I was getting ready to move out of Ames, and I was going to back my pickup up to the door, and load some stuff, but my friend wasn't there yet to help me load it, so I kind of parked it on the side of the house and went inside to wait for him. Well, I came back out and I had a ticket for parking. You can't park anywhere near the... I'm like, oh, I got to get out of this place, or speeding tickets or whatever. It's just like you get weary, can get weary of the correction. But the Lord correct you, and there's good work in getting corrected, because now you don't do that stuff, or at least not as bad. But the Lord wants, and kids, you got to correct your kids, and they can get weary of that. But the Bible tells us, don't get weary of that. Because the Lord, just like parents need to chasten their kids, help their kids, we have to receive that from the Lord. The Lord will do that to us. Why? Because whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Delights in you. If you delight in your son, you've got to correct him. Psalm 94, verses 12 through 15, said, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it." Hebrews 12:4, starting in verse 4 of chapter 12, says, "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, I just love it, so I know I'm reading a lot, but I can't say it any better than this. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." There's a lot going on there. I just, as I'm reading it, hear that any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And I was thinking about that. You know how, you know the best way for God to correct you? I keep thinking I'm back in class. I always ask, it takes so long back in class because I stop and let the kids talk. You guys, it would be better. It always goes way too fast. But you know the best way for God to correct you? I guess if you still forget, you can't talk. Read your Bibles and let him tell you in that still small voice and just correct it real quick between you and him. But if you ignore that and it gets, you know, like, where is it? Matthew, what? How you go, just, okay, now there's a problem. Let's go between us, and then if you don't receive it, we'll take two or three others and go. So if you don't deal with it, if you're reading your Bible and you're sensitive and you're hearing it, you know, correct it just between you and him. That's the best way, because it just gets more public. It gets more embarrassing. It gets more harder to deal with. You know, and then so then somebody comes and corrects you. So then you've got the chance for this root of bitterness I don't want to be correct. You know, you don't want to, your feelings are hurt, or you don't want to be corrected or whatever. And it can even lead to if any man fail the grace of God and a root of bitterness springing up, you know, many be defiled. You know, like a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So we want to be careful. We don't want that to let that happen. One of those guys said, I think it's mostly Adam Clark. I don't think John Wesley, he didn't say a whole lot. He's kind of like me. He didn't have a whole lot to say. I'm going to read those verses again. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So that one of those guys said, teaching is essentially necessary to show the man the way in which he is to go. Right? We got to be taught. You know, if I don't teach my kids something, I can't get too mad at them if they didn't know it, right? Or horses. I was thinking about this kind of the same thing applies to horses. You know, you have to teach. You can teach a horse. You can teach a kid. You can teach a person. Teaching is essentially necessary to show the man the way in which he is to go. And this is what they said. Discipline is necessary to render that teaching effectual. And often, correction is requisite in order to bring the mind into submission. Correction is requisite in order to bring the mind into submission. And without which, the mind being in submission, without which it cannot acquire knowledge. If you think you know, I mean, I think about that. I took some classes and I thought I knew everything. I didn't learn anything in those classes because I thought I knew everything. I would have learned something if I hadn't thought I knew everything. There wasn't any correction there, evidently. Correction is necessary to bring the mind into submission, which without it cannot acquire knowledge. Do not therefore reject this procedure of God. Humble thyself under his mighty hand and open thy eyes to thy own interest, and then thou wilt learn specially and effectually. It is of no, and I like this part too. He said, it is of no use to rebel. If thou do, thou kickest against the pricks or the goads. And every act of rebellion against him is a wound to thine own soul. Every time you kick, you're getting poked. And he says, God will either end thee, or mend thee. And he says, wilt thou then kick on? Why would you kick on? Why would we kick on? I love that. I think it's kind of the same. Horses are the same way. As I was reading him say that, I kind of have a deal. I didn't kind of got this from somebody else, but you know, you have a procedure, kind of a, when I have a horse do something, I teach him. You got to teach him what you want him to do first. And then you have a way you can ask him. And then you have a way you can tell them, and then if they don't do it, you can correct. But probably they're not much different than people, really, in a lot of ways. I mean, they just want to be left alone. What do I got to do to just, you know, leave? And so if you can. What happens so many times is you teach him something and then you think they know it, and you, instead of asking them or even telling them, you just start correcting them. And you're going to have problems right off the bat. And so God teaches us, and he's long-suffering, he's gracious, he gives us lots of time, but he will bring correction, and it's good for us. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So actually I could read more, but so there are things that are more precious than dollars, than money. And we read our Bibles, we know that. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Not funny, not happy is the millionaire, happy is the billionaire, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. The man that getteth understanding, or the idea is draweth out understanding. Isn't that kind of like that? I can't remember where that is, but there's a place in the Proverbs, I think, where it talks about that, wisdom in a man is like a deep well, and a wise man will draw it out, you know. And it takes work to draw water, right? I mean, my grandpa died last year. He was 97, and well, he said he came home one day and Pop had bought a windmill. A guy came and put a windmill up. Didn't have to pump the water by hand all the time anymore. Can you imagine that? He didn't have electricity, probably wouldn't have had running water without electricity till he got home from World War II. You believe that? It's a little bit off track, but that just kind of blows my mind to think about. I mean, could you imagine living without electricity? Or running water, indoor plumbing. And yet most of the world for centuries, until like the last century or so, lived like that. And we couldn't even imagine it. And you know, I think about it too, and this is off track, I guess, but we're not to fear, we're not to worry, you know, that environmentalists get us all worried. Because, you know, logic, your own understanding tells you, if we're using oil and coal, and it's all here, and nobody's making any more, it's going to run out, right? It's going to run out no matter what. And the Lord didn't intend for it to last forever, right? Because he's going to destroy, not with a flood again, but next time fire, and then make it all new. You know, so we don't have to worry. I mean, you know, not that we're to not be like, you know, we're care about stuff and take care of stuff, but we don't have to worry and freak out and, you know, kill the people so the coal will last a little bit longer, you know. Well, that's what they talk out of both sides of their mouth, you know. Oh, live long and prosper. Oh, let's get rid of everybody that's not useful. It's like, oh, it's awful. But they don't. I'm not even sure how I got on that. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. It's better the merchandise of it, it's better than silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Don't you love that verse? I really can't even say anything about it. You read that. It's like the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Remember when Peter and them were talking to those guys, and these guys are fishermen, ignorant, untrained. They've been with the Lord, made them wise. The statutes of the Lord are right. The statutes of the Lord are right. The statutes of men are not right. And that's a problem. Everybody leans on their own understanding and does what's right, which is fine if everybody's reading their Bibles. You know, you're going to be pretty good, but when you got a whole country where nobody's reading their Bible and everybody just does what's right in their own eyes, and they just vote for whoever puts the most spam on their phone or whatever, it's a mess. I was thinking about that. You know, would you rather have a country, a debased country that votes debased people in all the time, or would you rather have a king? You know, if you got a good one and he was in there for 50 years or something, that'd be all right, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be bad. This way you get a good president in there that, you're not going to have him in there very long. Of course, if you get a bad one, you can, at least right now, you can get him out not too long, too. But oh, there's no perfect way to do it. But the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. There's that, the fear of the Lord again. That reverence for the Lord, that respect, that bowing of the will to the Lord, that's clean. That keeps us clean. That keeps us out of trouble. At least the kind of trouble you want to stay out of. You know, you can be following the Lord and still get in trouble with man's laws, but because all of man's laws are not the greatest. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, they are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. The judgments of the Lord, the truth, the word of God, is more to be desired than gold, than fine gold. It's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. You know, better than, you know, Skittles or cheesecake or anything like that. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Thy servant is warned. Isn't that good? We read our Bibles, we're warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Great reward. Let's read some more of these verses. Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. More precious than rubies. Length of days is in her right hand. The man that findeth wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the knowledge and all that. Her ways, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. You know, nothing is an accident, okay? The reason there can be science is because this earth was created by a God of order, and he put everything in order, and it's not by accident that it happened. You can look, like the rain, the very last verse there, the clouds drop down the dew. I mean, that's not an accident. You know, sometimes you'll hear people, how much rain did you get? Oh, I heard you had quite a bit of rain over there. You must be living right, you know. I mean, people joke about that today, and they probably don't even have any idea what they're saying. God's providence. I looked up that word, providence. It's only in the Bible once, in Acts, and it's not really, it's about the providence of man, but really that's, I saw a chart, like in the 1800s, they used to use that word all the time, but now it's like they don't ever use that word. But it's God's provision. You know, we don't have to worry about it so much now because we have, you know, federal crop insurance, so you don't have to worry about God's providence so much, but or whatever. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, and this is the part I like, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know, this book is it's a living book. That means every time you read it, God's going to speak something different to you. And it's kind of a mystery. Things are hidden in here. They're not hidden from us. They're hidden for us. We're supposed to seek this, seek God's wisdom like we'd be looking for buried treasure. You know? We're listening to the Count of Monte Cristo audiobook. We're about done with it. But he found treasure. He got out of prison and he found this an unfathomable treasure. Right? And it's kind of, in God, that book's a lot about God's providence, and it's interesting stuff in there. But But yeah, that was written in the 1800s when providence was a word that was used a lot and thought of a lot more than it is now, perhaps. Matthew, verse 11, chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, you know, "Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in that garden." And chapter 3, verse 22, "The Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now let us put forth his hand and take also the tree of life." Wisdom is compared to that tree of life. "Lay hold upon that wisdom. Happy is everyone that retaineth it." And the depths, Jeremiah 10, verse 12 says, "He's made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and he has stretched out the heavens by his discretion," or by his understanding. And in Genesis 7, verse 11, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened." You know, until that happened, it never rained on the earth. It was thought there was just this, what is it called? Just a mist. What is it? Yeah, that's what it says, isn't it? And it was there. And the earth was probably not tilted, and it was like a greenhouse in the whole earth. And then the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the hydrologic cycle and all that started. But he did that, wasn't random, is by his knowledge that was the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew. He did that. Verse 21 in Proverbs. "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall thy life be unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." This is actually, here's, I'm going to read what one of those, what Adam Clark said. So, "When thou liest down, the wise man describes the confidence, security, and safety which proceed from a consciousness of innocence. Most people are afraid of sleep, lest they should never awake, because they feel they're not prepared to appear before God. They are neither innocent nor pardoned. True believers know that God is their keeper night and day. They have strong confidence in him, that he will be their director and not suffer them to take any false step. In life, they go to rest in perfect confidence that God will watch over them. Hence, their sleep, being undisturbed with foreboding and evil dreams, is sweet and refreshing. They are not apprehensive of any sudden destruction, because they know that all things are under the control of God, and they are satisfied that if sudden destruction shall fall upon their wicked neighbor, yet God knows well how to preserve them. And all this naturally flows from the Lord being their confidence." verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. I could say, well, I just had Galatians chapter 6 says, be not deceived. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7, says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. So we think, you know, as the Lord leads, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. You know, so if the Lord's leading you to do that, do it. There's, in this day and age, you never know, but just pray about it, and if the Lord shows you, if it's due, if it's, you know, do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. You know, you never know. Death might take one, if you have it and it's owed, and you might do, no, I'll do it tomorrow. You know, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Do it today. If it needs to be done today, do it today. Verse 29, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor. Choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The Romans, I just got a few more scriptures here. Romans 12, verse 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, strive not with a man without a cause. Envy thou not the oppressor, choose none of his ways. Devise not evil against thy neighbor. As much as is possible with us, live peaceably with all men. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. This is what, envy thou not the oppressor. Oh, how bewitching is power. This is Adam Clark or John Wesley. Oh, how bewitching is power. Every man desires it, and yet all hate tyrants. But query, if all had power, would not the major part of us be tyrants? James, this is the last verse. James 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us. Help us to live according to it. Help us to be, you know, quick to hear and slow to speak and quick to repent. Just help us, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Help us live this life by the power of your spirit and according to your word and with your spirit helping us, Lord. So just pray you go before us all this week. Help us to get through. Give us what we need to get through. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us just to look to you every day, every second, every minute, whatever, for what we need, and not to trust in ourselves or to lean on our own understanding. Just thank you for who you are and what you do for us, and forgive us, Lord, because we're trying. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a good week.